and this whole program of Rise of October.
Like,
what compelled you to be part of this?
I live in Harlem, and I'm a father who, each time, my sons who are now grown, each time they go out the door, I wonder if their continuous act of terror that has been happening in this country that continues to get worse. And we want to kind of put the face to the names and let those names be remembered in our hearts, because these are children, babies, grandparents, homeless folks, working folks, immigrant folks, students. There is no one kind of a person that gets targeted out. There's a group of folks that are poor, usually black and brown, and anyone can be subject. I have a friend who's a doctor who got beat up by the cops a few doors away from his house. He's got a piece of a Nobel Prize because he was part of Doctors with Borders. I told the story of a grandfather who lives in my building in Harlem who just last week got maced and handcuffed because of a ticket, you know, of an altercation with someone with a traffic ticket. And this man is a retired, is a former Marine and a retired cop who has this attitude as someone who worked for the city and worked for the government, that cops just get to come in, and white cops especially, and just treat people in Harlem any way they want to treat. So unless you're going to walk around flashing your ID card or with a tattoo on your chest that, you know, that I'm a student, that I'm a doctor, that I'm a mother, that I'm a grandmother, you're subject to be beaten, arrested, if not killed. And even if you had those tattoos and those banners, that still might happen because we're not seen as human.
Why do you think this happens? Where do you think it comes from? Why do you think it happens?
It's connected to what the police force is here to do. They're here to protect the interests of the ruling class. They're in the community to protect property, not people. And this is why a grandmother in the projects can call 911 and said, someone is climbing through my window, and the cops might arrive, you know, a half hour later, if at all. And a storekeeper could say, someone is across the street looking like they're thinking about doing something in my store, and the cops will be there before they can hang up the phone. So there's this mentality that folks in poor communities must be contained and controlled, not protected. And that's part of the ideology and the philosophy of a system that puts profits before people.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at this, you know, one of the things that's really disturbing about this, and we were talking about this just as I started to interview you, was this whole point about the numbers, the actual numbers, and the numbers that we know, and the numbers that we know are out there, and we don't know the names yet. You know, and you think about this, in a way, there's been, especially in connection with Rise Up October, there's been a lot of people talking about how this actually comes. This is actually indicative of a slow genocide right now. What do you think about that, and what do you think of the dangers of this becoming something
great? I think it's true, and it is connected with state power, the idea of expanding that and using this mentality that we're in constant danger from terrorists to militarize the police. Now, when you buy weapons from the military for your local police departments, the high-powered assault rifles and the tanks and the body armor, who comes to train you? The military. And what are the military training you to do? Kill the enemy. And so we have that idea. Now, again, as state capital consolidates power, and as they understand that that people are not needed to work the factories, people are not needed to work the fields in the same way, it is a slow genocide. It is genocide by neglect. It is genocide by court systems that throw people in prison more and more for longer and longer. And it is genocide that tells these police who have been trained that the people in the community are the enemy, that if you shoot to kill, don't worry about it. You'll be on desk duty, and charges will be dropped by the district attorney or the grand jury won't indict, and you'll be back on the job with full pay in a matter of weeks or months.
How do you see stopping this?
It's the power of the people that has changed things throughout history. It is as Frederick Douglass says, agitate, agitate, agitate. It is what we're doing today and making these numbers swell to the thousands and the tens of thousands, so that whenever a cop stops someone, they're looking into the eyes, not just of that isolated black kid or Latino girl or senior citizen, they're looking into the eyes of all of us. And they know that besides civil justice, that there's people's justice.
All right, Jamal Joseph, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, brother. Okay. Rise up.